The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, May 20th, 2018, with the Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It is good to see each and every one of you, and I mean that, not just saying that. Today we meet. Today we share time together. Today we come to a place called sanctuary. We, the people, file in and sit upon the pews with friends and family around us, maybe even strangers. But we're on a journey together. We are the church. Until we arrive, it's a building on a hill. But then it becomes a church. Today is the day the Lord has given us, blessed us with, and the day the Lord wants to bless us in. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for letting us come today to worship together, to worship you. In the name of our risen Lord, we come. We come to lift our voices, to share our presence, to share our time. Thank you for this time, this space, to spend with each other and with you. And now may we truly worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall all prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Father, let us hear the words that this servant Luke wrote, recorded, and shared, and that have been handed down to us from one Christian life to another by faith. Truly, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. Amen. The birthday of the church. Sometimes we get complacent in our faith journey. Sometimes we come to the communion table and it's just communion again. Sometimes we just come to church and, oh, those altar cloth colors, they're red this week. I wonder, and then we find out it's Pentecost. But do we really think about Pentecost next week? Maybe we don't, because it's not very significant. Maybe it doesn't really, it's another Sunday. It's another one of them churchy things. So I want us to look at Pentecost today at a little different perspective. It is the birth of the church, and we don't really get down to Peter's sermon. We get what's going on in the upper room, then we get them out on the street, and Peter recites his sermon text. And his sermon text ends in verse 21. You got to go a little further to get the sermon. So we get just the beginning, right? And it is the beginning, the birth of the church. But I want you to notice some stuff that you might have kind of got swished around there somewhere, as we tend to sometimes do. But I want you to notice right off the bat that Luke is writing to Theophilus. Theophilus is his friend. And Luke is recording this after the fact, of course. And now he's writing to Theophilus. He's trying to tell Theophilus about this early beginning. So he says, and when the day of Pentecost, it already had a name. It's been celebrated a few times. And the stories have been told, and now Luke puts them pen and paper. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, which signifies to us, and what should signify to us, is when God's plan had been fulfilled. When Christ had been ascended, the number of days that were needed, we talked about that last week, and the day of Pentecost, the day of God's promise. Pentecost. It arrives. And they were all together in one place. In this upper room were about 70 total, not just the 11 or 12. It's a large upper room, if we remember, picked and chosen, and this is where they would have been. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound, not a wind, no wind, no wind. And there came the sound of a violent rushing wind. Now here in Wyoming, we're familiar with wind, right? Next to water, wind can be one of the most destructive elements in nature, right? And when you get a hurricane, you get the water and the wind, so you really got a mess, don't you? But back where I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, close to the Tennessee border, we could tell you about this. You see, out here, it just comes. You don't have anything to funnel it, turn it, or slow it down hardly. You get up on one of the buttes and you step over close to the edge, boom, it'll get you then. Have you tried that? There won't be hardly any wind until you step out at that edge, and then it's coming up at you. But back east where I lived, in the house where my sister lives now, it's the third house. The first house on that piece of property burned to the ground. The second house that was there blew down. It's tough. So when you talk about high winds out here, I'm fine with it. It's not new to me. We lived at about 5,800 feet, so elevation isn't necessarily new either. But we could hear the wind coming. And I had a picture window in the living room, and it's a multi-pane window. I think most of you know what that is. It's got the 9x7 little windows. And that wind would come, and you could hear it. And it would hit that house and push that window in. And you could just hear it, and it would shake. It was a mighty, rushing, violent sound. That's what was going on in this upper room, was this sound of a, this is how they described what was going on. It was the only thing that they could wrap their words around to describe what they were experiencing, was this mighty, rushing, violent wind. And then, cloven tongues of fire, which means two shoots of fire, descended on each one of them. Now, how many of you want to look around and see your neighbor's head on fire? Now, come on. You know you'd like to see that happen to somebody. I mean, you're sitting there thinking right now, I know where you went. Yeah, you was thinking, yeah, okay, maybe a little lower, you know, or whatever. Maybe there should be gasoline involved or at least diesel fuel. You know, it burns longer and hotter, by the way. But anyway, there, you look around. Here are 70 people gathered in this upper room, this cloven tongue, and this is pouring out the Spirit of God. It comes in this fire. So there can't be wind. Wind and fire, you know, sometimes don't go so well. It blows it out, don't it? So now you've got this going. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit descends on these 70 people who were assembled like they were told, who were sharing this time and space together, who were praying and seeking to follow Christ, but at the same time they were scared to death they'd be found by those Jews. And then Luke writes that Jerusalem was filled with devout Jewish people. These are people who knew the Scriptures, who knew it. I mean, Jerusalem was the place to be if you were a devout Jew, and it is even today. And they're there from every nation. God bless you, Linda. It seems like you get this one every year. She signs up to be the liturgist, and it's got all of those Parthians and Greeks, and it's got all of those names in it. If I was her, and you can read those names for yourself, and let's get on down here anyway. But, you know, so you got all of they hear this. Now, how many of you, if you heard something like that over in your neighbor's house, wouldn't be a little curious? You're in church. I got news for you. If I heard that over at Jim and Linda's, I'm going to go see. And I might do what we all do. I might go over to see what's going on, but I might go and say, can I help you? What I really want to say is, can I see? What I really want to know is what's going on in there, you know? But sometimes we have to be tactful, I guess. Why don't we just go over and say, what's going on? You know, I think they'd get that too. So, but I would go see. All of these people came out, and they heard it. They're looking, and all of a sudden, here comes those disciples out of that building. They're not afraid anymore. And even more than that, you need to understand, they're speaking in languages, not unknown tongues. Every known nation and language is represented in that crowd that has gathered. And everyone in that crowd now is hearing the gospel in their native language. There cannot be a mistake. God don't want the translation to mess it up. They just don't want that to happen. And notice that they all heard it. There wasn't anyone excluded. They're scared, they're confused, they're perplexed, they don't know what to make of it. They say, how can this be? This is a bunch of Galileans, poor, uneducated dummies from a bad part of town. How they have to be drunk with new wine. And Peter doesn't say that they don't drink. Did you notice his statement? He said, they're not drunk, it's just 9 in the morning. In other words, check later. Could be 5 o'clock somewhere, you know. They could be tying one on later. But right now, I can attest, they're not. They're not drunk as you suppose. And then Peter quotes his sermon text. And his sermon text is from the prophet Joel. And Peter's sermon text proves that what just happened is God's will. And what just happened? Number one, they were in a building, right? They were in that upper room. The first thing that happens is God shows up. And God shows up reminiscent of another time he showed up. God shows up in a mighty rushing wind and then a cloven tongue of fire, yet it doesn't consume them. It is from this cloven tongue of fire that they received the Holy Spirit and they began to go share the good news of deliverance from slavery to sin and bondage. There was another incident when a man named Moses approached a burning bush that too was not consumed. And God said to Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. And he says, I have heard the prayers of my people, and I am sending you to set my people free. 70 people left an upper room. The church was born. And they left as the church, brothers and sisters, redeemed through the belief in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they filled the street once again, preaching and giving and offering God's hope of release from the slavery, this time, of sin and death. And Peter says they're not drunk. They're just doing what God called them to do. You shouldn't be surprised, because this is what God said. Let's look at Joel and Peter's text. In the last days, it will be that God declares, this is what he'll do, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. You got some inclusion going on, right? You don't have a lock on Jesus. He's available to everybody, right? He'll pour out his spirit on flesh, your sons and your daughters. Notice he got the men and the women in there, right? The boys and the girls. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They'll tell people about Jesus. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. If you read the book of Daniel, you get a picture of that. And Daniel says, and I had this vision in my head while I was laying on my bed. He repeats that over and over. And if you run over to Revelation, you hear John say, and I saw a vision. It's happening. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they too shall prophesy. Now what about this next few verses? Joel's prophesying about what would happen. Peter's saying it has happened. Peter is saying this is what he said was going to happen. So let's see if it did. And I will show portents, signs in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Can we picture a crucifixion? Can we picture our Christ hanging on a cross? Can we picture him there as the sun and the moon are darkened? Can we picture our Christ there as earthquakes hit, as the veil of the temple is torn in two and the cauldrons of burning fires that were never put out spill among the floor? Can we picture our Christ as his blood drips upon the ground? Can we picture the scene that Joel is telling us is happening? And all of this is going to happen. All of this is going to happen before the glorious day of the Lord. This sounds to me like a crucifixion. It looks to me like Joel got it right. And what is the day of the Lord? It's the day of the resurrection. We call it Easter. And the glorious day of the Lord, it wasn't over. It wasn't done. It was finished, but not quite. And then upon everybody who calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Peter will launch into a sermon. We'll get there next week. But today, the church has been born. It isn't a building. It isn't a structure. As a matter of fact, they left that and went out into the street. It's a people who hear the call of God in their life, who feel that call empowered by the Holy Spirit, and who go do something about it. The church, the people of God. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. Don't be peeking around. Don't worry about your neighbor right now. Worry about you. Pastor, I've got some struggles that I'm going through and I just would like some extra prayer this week. If that's you, slip your hand up so I can just pray for you. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I believe, but I don't know where to go to work. I'm talking about my faith journey. Pray for me that I would hear that call from God. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I just don't believe in it. But I'm here. And I guess there's something. And that's why I'm here. Pray for me that God would let me see it. I need it. I must. Amen. Pastor, there's stuff going on at home. There's stuff going on at the workplace. I just need some extra prayers this week. Would you lift me up? Amen. Pastor, I've got some hard decisions that people aren't always going to like, but I've got to make them. Would you pray for me that God would lead me in that? If that's you, slip your hand up. many hands and many needs, and many that I haven't even mentioned, I'm sure. Pastor, just pray for me. Lift your hand and take it back down. Amen. And now would you pray and commit to pray for one another? If you'll do that, slip your hand up and take it back down. And I'm going to ask something I don't usually do. There's some stuff coming, and I need your prayers, and I need to know you're praying for me. If you'll do that, would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Amen. Gracious and loving God, we the church come together out of imperfections and brokenness to face trials together, uncertain situations, difficulties in life. But we're also called to share the good news, to reach out and touch others' lives with the good news of Christ. So, Father, today let us be the church in the world around us. Let us be the church at home. Let us be the church here on Sunday. Let us be the church at work. Let us be the church wherever you would call us to interact with other people, to be a part of their lives. Let us share the greatest news. He is risen. Indeed, He is risen. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers as we lift them before you. In the name of Jesus our Christ. And now, as hands hold yours and as you hold theirs, know that God is in the midst. Know that Christ is moving within to touch our lives and join them in this journey called faith. And now, as the church, may we go to share your love and grace in the world in the name of Jesus. And truly, may we go in the name of Christ our Lord and know His peace, His power, His provision, His presence. Now go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.